Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We're in Ezekiel, and if you would turn with your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 25. Ezekiel 25. Huh? Oh, announcements. Well, while you're turning to Ezekiel 25, I'll go over the announcements. Let's see. Upcoming events. There's also get involved, and we're needing help everywhere. If you want to be a participant and get involved in ministry, there's plenty of ministries to get involved in. Now, understand what I'm about to say. I'm not griping. I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. I do these things joyfully. I'm just trying to tell you there's an opportunity here. When I get up in the morning, I come over here. I make the coffee, I make the communion, and from there, I go do my study, and then I come out and do my sound check. Actually, no, wait. I do my study, then I go get the donuts, and then I do the sound check, and then, of course, we have the prayer meeting in there. But there's a span of time and opportunities for you to get involved. You could take one of those opportunities. For this past week, I got 1 hour study. An extra half hour would be great. Now, again, I'm not whining and complaining or griping or anything. Do these things joyful. There's many different things here. There's the nursery, there's the children's ministry, there's the sound booth. You can help assist Judy in. There's ministries. And we are called to serve, each and every one of us. Now, some of that is just like Mary. I mean, her place was just at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. Other people's place is simply prayer. But I'm just asking you, are you entered into that calling? So that's one of the things that's available. Of course, we got a church chick picnic coming up, in which we'll have chicken and half chicken and some barbecued ribs. And that's on June the 6th from 11:30 to 4 p.m. We're going to have bounce houses for the kids. We're expecting anywhere from 75 to 100 people. Invite your friends, invite your loved ones, your cousins and your uncles and aunts. It's a good time for evangelism. We're coming for the service. You hear the evangelistic message, and then we all come together for fellowship. And then on June the 27th, we're going to have our baptism. That evening, we'll have a praise and worship service. Might even have an open mic so you can give testimony what God is doing in your lives. We can all celebrate together. Of course, there's ministry opportunities as far as giving. You got the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. The Chosen, the movie that's out, that's in the center of your bulletin. If you'd like to get involved in that, then there's instruction there. Just put your money in one of the envelopes right on the cover of the envelope, what that's for. All right, Ezekiel 25. Did I cover everything that you want me to get? Okay, Ezekiel chapter 25. Up to this point, God has given prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, saying this is what's going to happen, that the judgment is coming. And, of course, the Jews, they didn't want to hear it. They explained it away. Oh, that's not going to happen. That's years down the road. Having ears, they could not hear. Having eyes, they could not see. They didn't want to hear. They did not want to see. So too today, the judgment is coming. Precious people, Jesus is on his way. And we have evidence all around us. It's here. The time is near. It's upon us. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within grasp. It's time to lay hold of it right here, right now. If you lack peace, if you lack joy, if you're not content, I'd have to question. I'd ask you to question yourself. Where is your hope? Where's your hope? This is where Israel was. They had put their hope in the things of the world. They were called to be a bright, shining light to the Gentile nations, but they got distracted. They got their hope in the stuff, in the things of the world. They started longing for, wanting what the world had to offer. And they couldn't hear God. They couldn't see God. They didn't understand their ministry. No longer understood their ministry. So what is God going to do? He's going to take everything and strip it away. He's going to strip it all the way. Why? So they could hear. So they could see. So they could see what was truly important. It's happening now. You know, we're to honor the king. It doesn't matter who the king is. We're not to worship the king. We're not to praise the king. Necessarily to praise the king, we're to honor the king. Nebuchadnezzar was a king that God placed over Israel. Nebuchadnezzar was one that God used to get the attention of Israel. Israel rebelled against that. Who did God rebuke? Not Nebuchadnezzar, but Israel. I see a nation that's rebelling right now against our king. All kings are appointed by God. All kings are appointed by God. It may not be the king you want. It may not be the king you desire. It may not be, he may not be doing what you want, but it's what God wants. Well, this is evil stuff that's happening. God will take what the enemy intends for evil and use it for good. And I see the good coming out of it. Never before have I been on Facebook and seen post after post after post pointing to the return of Jesus. But it's happening now. It's been effective. Guess what? It's going to get darker. It's going to get worse. The Bible tells us it will. So the question I ask you this morning, where is your hope? Is it in the things of this world? Are you rebelling? Are you rejecting to what the Bible says is going to happen? Because the precious people, it's upon us. It's happening. One world government, one world economic system, one world religion, it's on its way. The world is being prepped for it. But guess what? Your hope is not to be in this world. Your hope isn't to be heaven. So in spite of what might happen, you can have a peace and a joy that surpasses all understanding. With that introduction, with that overview, we'll continue on in Ezekiel chapter 25. God has pronounced the judgment upon Ezekiel. Through Ezekiel, God has pronounced the judgment upon Israel. The judgment has come to Israel. Now his focus is shifting to the people of the world, those that surrounds Israel. And so we'll read the text here, and then we'll get into our application. It says, picking up in Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the sons of Ammon and prophesy against them. And say to the sons of Ammon, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God, because you said, aha! Aha! Oh, I flipped a page over. Because you said, aha! I didn't quit breathing on my Bible, I guess. Because you said, aha, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, behold, I am going to give you the sons of the east for a possession. And they will set their encampments among you and make their dwellings among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will make Raba a pasture for camels and the sons of Ammon a resting place for flocks. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, because you have clapped your hands and stomped your feet and rejoiced with all the scorn of your soul against the land of Israel, therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you, and I will give you for spoil to the nations, and I will cut you off from the peoples and make you perish from the lands. I will destroy you. Thus you will know that I am the Lord." God wrote in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, to Abraham, "And I will make you great. I will make you a great nation. I will bless those. I'm trying to say it in memory, and it's right here in front of me. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the nations or families of the earth will be blessed. So God was speaking to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. He says, anyone who blesses you, I'm going to bless. Anyone who blesses you, I will bless. And anyone who curses you, I will curse. So now we see the nations are watching, observing what God is doing with the nation of Israel. They see their demise. They hate the nation of Israel. And so what are they doing? They're celebrating. Aha! Look at this. Look what's happening. They're supposed to be God's people. Look at what God has done. And so now they see they're cursing them. Just as today, right now, as Hamas is plummeting these rockets upon Israel, as they've been attacking Israel, and then Israel responds. Understand what everything that Israel's doing right now is just simply in response. But they're saying they deserve what they're getting. How dare they defend themselves? All the nations of the world, we're basically the only ally that remains for the nation of Israel, and our faithfulness, as you can see, is very shaky, depending on who's in office, depending on what part of the government you're listening to. You know, right now, there's people within our own government. So, you know, just let them destroy them. You know, Israel's deserving everything they get. You may not like Israel, but those are God's people. He said, I will bless those who bless them. I will curse. Let me deal with them. I'll discipline them. But don't you dare celebrate it. I love these people. I'm using these people. So he's dealing with those who's cursing them. Verse 8 goes on to say, thus, if you didn't know, the sons of Ammon. And there's application here. This is not necessarily end time prophecy, so to speak. We see some events unfolding a little differently as we get into end-time prophecies. But the principles remain. That's one of the things I wanted to point out. The Ammonites were the ones who reside in present-day Jordan. That's their residence. So if you want to refer to the Ammonites, if you want to look them into, you know, the future prophecy, it's the land of Jordan. They are actually the descendants of Lot. Lot and his family had, you know, fled from Sodom when God was destroying Sodom. They fled from Sodom. They went up in the mountain. The daughters of Lot said, oh, no, all the men have perished. We've got to do something here. We've got to be fruitful. So they get their dad drunk. While he's drunk, they have relations with him. And then they have children. These are the children of Lot. Now, so too the Moabites. They're also the descendants of Lot. They kind of broke off. You had the Ammonites and the Moabites, but they're of the same family. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir say, behold, the house of Judah is like the nations. Therefore, behold, I'm going to deprive the flank of Moab of its cities which are on the frontier, or in its frontiers, the glory of the land, Beth Jeshmoth, Balaam, Malam, and Kirith Athim. I will give it for a possession, along with the sons of Ammon, to the sons of the east, so that the sons of Ammon will not be remembered among the nations. Thus, I will execute judgment on Moab, and they will know that I am the Lord God. So Moab's also the descendants of Lot. The themes here is that's being referred to, and as again, I say this is not specifically end time prophecy, but it's prophecy that's given nonetheless, and we see the principles of the prophecy that's given here. Each one that has forsaken Israel, each one that's turned their backs on Israel, what did God say? I'm going to give you over to the sons of the east. I'm going to give you over to the sons of the east. Now, this is not necessarily speaking of China at this point, but we do see the sons of the East involved in end-time prophecy. They basically take over the world, and that's in effect what happens. We see them as being the leaders with Antichrist, the leaders of those that surrounding Jerusalem. But what my point is, we can see the involvement of China growing and growing and growing in our economic system. Go out to Walmart, buy 10 items, and I guarantee you, 9 of those 10 items, products, not produce, 9 of those 10 items will be from China. Guarantee it. Just go out there, pick off the shelf, 10 items. We're being given over to the sons of the East. Our economic system is now becoming subjected to the sons of the East. We're giving away our economy. We're giving away money. What, for what purpose? To collapse our economy. The more we give to the public, even those that's in the United States, the less valuable our dollar becomes. And I'm telling you, this is, hear what I'm saying here, it's going to get a lot darker. It's going to get a lot worse. But what are we to be? That diamond in the midst of all that. And we can't be that diamond when we're griping and complaining, whining and fearing. We cannot be that diamond. That's not what we're called to be. See, once everything is coming, if everything was stripped away from you, would you have hope? You should. If your faith is truly in Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. And what we should be saying to the world as we see these things happen, we should not be condemning our president. We should not be condemning our Congress. We should not be whining and complaining. What we should be saying is Jesus is coming. The Bible says so. He's on his way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're to be those filled with joy as we see prophecy and fulfilling and being a light to the nations. That's what Israel was called to do. And they failed miserably. Why? Because they got caught up in the world. They got caught up in the temporal. And they couldn't be a light. We can be. It all is all dependent where your faith is, where your hope is. Does it rest in the love of God? Thus says the Lord God, verse 15. Because of the Philistines, who are the Philistines? The Palestinians today, that's who they are. Those that are on the Gaza Strip. Those are where Hamas is launching their rockets from. That's the Philistines, the Palestinians. Thus says the Lord God, because of the Philistines have acted in revenge and have taken vengeance with scorn of soul to destroy with everlasting enmity. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, even cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes. And they will know I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance on them. So God's going to pour out his vengeance. And this is a principle. Again, this is a principle that we're looking at, not necessarily an end-time prophecy. At this point, it will develop also into an end-time prophecy. Those that's rising up against Israel will pay for their cursing. They will be cursed. And we see, again, we see all this unfolding, don't we? We can see our government collapsing. We can see the moral and ethical condition of our nation in decline. We're calling evil good and good evil. It's okay to go shop at Walmart. It's okay to be in these other businesses during a virus, but don't you dare go to church and worship. We can see that homosexuality is not only being embraced, but celebrated. It's good to deny that you're a male. When you, it's just good to deny that you're a female. It's just good to embrace who you want to be, not who you are. And then we also see, and this is a, you can research this on Google, by the way. It's now good for a child to be molested. It's good for them. There's psychiatrists, psychologists out there saying it's good for a child. Oprah Winfrey said it's good for a child if it's done correctly, properly. She said it. She said it. So we see all this happening, but what are we to do? First of all, we are to take hope. We're to take hope that God's wrath will not be poured out upon us. It's not going to be poured out upon us. We may see persecution from the world. Jesus, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And by the way, when they persecute you, they're not persecuting you, they're persecuting me. But don't be surprised by it. Peter says it's going to happen. Do not be surprised by the fiery trials and ordeals that will come upon you. But we can have hope because this world's not our home. I want to go to two places here this morning. And the reason I want to go here is because when we see these things happening, we can take hope. We can rest assured. And then we can also see what kind of people we ought to be, as Peter says. He said, if all this stuff is going to be happening, what kind of people are we to be? So if you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul wrote two letters, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, to the Thessalonians. Now the first letter was written is because they were doing what they were called to do. They were looking for the return of Jesus. And they were looking for his coming kingdom. They were actually expecting Jesus to show up anytime and set up his kingdom on planet Earth. But as the years went by, their loved ones, their relatives, those who got saved, those who got on the boat of salvation, they had begun to die. And they were like, oh no, my aunt, my uncle, my mom, my dad, they've missed the kingdom. And so they wrote to Paul with great concern. Paul, what's happened here? Jesus is supposed to be coming, bringing his kingdom back. And our relatives, our loved ones, they've passed the promises that they'd be a part of the kingdom. But they've died now. Paul is writing this letter to encourage them. Their bodies are dead, but their souls are with Jesus. And they will be coming back. And that's why he wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, but I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who've passed on, your loved ones. I don't want you to be uninformed about them so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. You can grieve, but there's hope. Jesus is coming back, and so are your loved ones. That's why he was encouraging with that. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him or bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So he gave them assurance. Those who've passed on, those who are asleep, are not missing out on the kingdom. Because Jesus is going to come back. He's going to raise them up. He's talking about the rapture here. He's going to catch them all up because he's about to pour out his wrath on planet Earth. And with them, we will all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we will forever be with him. So, he gave them assurance of those who've passed on. But then, because he talked to them about the great tribulation, and then suddenly, 2 Thessalonians, he receives a new letter. He says, and in this letter, they're concerned that they were in the middle of the great tribulation. That was their concern. Nero was in charge, this madman. This man who was throwing Christians to the lions, who were setting their loved ones on fire to light the arenas during in his garden at night. This guy who was just skinning Christians alive. He was on the scene. And he was wreaking havoc upon planet Earth. And especially for the church, because he was after the church. He was after God's people. So they believed, and by the way, in order to buy yourself trade, you had to put this napkin or this towel around your arm. It had to have a special emblem on it. You could not buy, sell, or trade in Rome without that. You had to be a worshiper of Caesar before you could buy, sell, or trade. This guy looked exactly like the Antichrist, as he's described in the Bible. But Paul has something interesting to say to the Thessalonians concerning Nero, this man who they believed was the Antichrist, and they believed that they were having to go through the great tribulation. Paul tells us, God will save you from the very hour of the great tribulation. Doesn't mean that we're not going to see hardship. It does not mean that we're not going to experience persecution before the great tribulation, but we will escape the great tribulation. So here's what I got to say this morning with that. We don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. We don't have to worry about our economic condition right now. We don't have to worry about an collapse of the economy. We don't have to worry about a one-world religious system. We don't have to worry about those things. Because what our eyes should be doing at this point, at this time, is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for the rapture, not Antichrist. That's what Paul is telling the Thessalonians. Don't be concerned about what's happening. Yes, it's cruel, it's heartless, and people are suffering, but be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's where we want. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had written Paul a letter. In this letter, they had several questions. He says, now let's move on to this topic concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture, and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or to be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So that was their question. Is this the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord being God pouring out his wrath upon planet Earth? He's addressing that question. Okay, now we're on this topic. You've sent me this question that, hey, the great tribulation is here. I want to address that. He says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. There's a clue. Unless the apostasy comes first. You got to understand, this is early church. Apostasy means falling away. In order for there to be a falling away, there must first be a building up, right? So there has not been an apostasy at this point, but there has been an apostasy here. And it all began in May 1948 when the nation of Israel was reborn. That's God's signal. My focus is returning to the nation of Israel. And at that point, we can see the falling away from the church, specifically the falling away of the church. In 1900, 75% up to 90% of the people in the United States were attending church. When 1950, it had dropped off to 50%. Today, we are now at 12.5%. There's definitely been a falling away from the Word of God, from the Word of truth. So we're here. It's here. The apostasy has come. The falling away is happening. Moral and ethical condition of our world is in decay. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come until apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness. He's not necessarily, and he is saying this, but he's not necessarily saying this is a lawless man. He says he's the man of lawlessness. He's a man the result of lawlessness, right? He's the man that represents where people are. In our very government, there's a promotion of lawlessness. There's a promotion of it. Let's get rid of the police. Let's defund the police. It's not the public's fault. It's the police's fault. It's racism. So we see lawlessness, definitely we see lawlessness in our society, rioting and fighting and bickering and backbiting, you know, and then we're coming up against the rule of law. So there's lawlessness. There's a man that's going to come to the rise to power as a result of that kind of lawlessness. They're going to be, the world's going to be looking for a man that most represents them. The man of lawlessness is revealed. Now, this does not mean that the man of lawlessness is revealed to the church. It's to the world. And Paul will give clarification of this in just a moment. He said there's going to be the man of lawlessness. There'll be an apostasy first. Then there's going to be the man of lawlessness. That means that the world's going to fall into lawlessness. And then there's going to be a man that will rise to power as a result of that. And he will be revealed. But he's not saying that you're going to see him, but he will be revealed. He will come to power. That's what it's saying. The son of desolation, or destruction. Son of destruction. To keep that in mind, too. That's a key word. Who opposes and exalts himself above every soul called God or object of worship. So he's going to say, I'm your God. This happens midway through the Great Tribulation, by the way. The world's going to be coming after this man. They're going to be deceived by this man. And then he's going to walk into the temple. And the Jews are going to embrace him as well. We'll get into that in just a moment too. The Jews are also going to embrace him. Up to a certain point, when he walks into the temple and says, I'm your God. So he's going to exalt himself above every so-called God. So he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, this is the key right here. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? What things could Paul possibly be telling the Thessalonians? He's talking about this man of lawlessness rising and coming to power. He's going into the temple. He's going to stop worship, declare himself as to be God. Where do we find that in the Bible? Well, we can find it in Ezekiel. We can find it in Isaiah. But more specifically, we find it in the book of Daniel. So I would guess that Paul had his Bible open and his Torah, and he's looking at the book of Daniel, and he's telling about this man that's going to come to power, who's going to rise to power, exalt himself above every so-called God, and he's reminding them of this, right? You guys following? You with me? Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now. That word no is so, you got to lay hold of that. It's a key word here. You know what restrains him now. Three words that's used in the Greek for the word no. Right? I know President Biden. Now, do I know him on a personal level? No. But I know him because he's our president. I know Patrick. He's a friend. I have a relationship with him. So there's knowing, I have knowledge of, then there's knowing, relationship aspect. This word here does not speak of knowledge or relationship. It does speak of a relationship, but it speaks of a deep, intimate relationship, like Abraham knew his wife. Paul's saying, you know, you have intimate knowledge of what's restraining the Antichrist right now. You have intimate knowledge of him. You know him. You know what restrains him now. That's key, because he's talking specifically of the Holy Spirit. You know. You have intimate knowledge of what's restraining him now. So what was restraining Antichrist at this point? Holy Spirit. And this is where you and I become so vitally important to the world. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, before he said, I am the light of the world. But then he would go on to say, you are the light of the world. Was Jesus confused? Was he the light or are we the light? He is the light, but his Holy Spirit is in us. And we become a light unto the world. He would go on to say, you are the salt of the earth. Remember that word destruction? The son of destruction? You are the salt of the earth. You see, salt was used as a preservative. It preserved meat. It preserved fish. You know, as they caught the fish, they'd throw it in some salt. It stopped corruption. It stopped decay. It just stopped destruction, right? It stopped it from happening. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You know what restrains him now. It's his Holy Spirit in us. Salt, light. It's us. You know what restrains him now so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already worked. We see it, right? It was happening in Paul's day. But there was a building up of the church. Then there was an apostasy of the church. There's a falling away of church. And we see lawlessness on the rise. Only he who now restrains, talking about the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. And the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. Then that lawlessness will be revealed. So now here we have clarification. He said there's an apostasy, then there's the revealing of Antichrist. He will be revealed. But he goes on to give, in a parenthesis of sort, tells us what's restraining Antichrist from coming to power right now. What's the restrainer? The Holy Spirit, the church. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So what's restraining Antichrist right now? We are. We're light. We're salt. Corruption can't lay hold. You see, the only way the Antichrist, the prince of darkness, the son of destruction, that lawless one, can be revealed is with we're removed. That's what Paul was telling the Thessalonians. It's impossible. I don't care what Nero is doing. You're still here. He can't be revealed. Nero can't be, well, he could have been, but what he's saying, he has not come to power. He is not revealed at this point because you're still here. See, we're not subject to wrath. We're not subject to condemnation because the whole purpose of the Great Tribulation is to bring a Christ-rejecting world to repentance. God's focus is going to shift to the Jews. He's going to open their eyes so they can hear, so they can see. He's going to reveal himself to them. But the whole purpose of the tribulation is to do that. He's going to strip everything from the Jew once more. And he's going to pour out his wrath upon this Christ-rejecting world. For what purpose? Repentance. To bring them. Have you repented? See, if you're repented, you can take your eyes off of what's happening here. You don't have to worry about an economy collapsing. You don't have to worry about our nation sneering and rejecting the Israelites. He's not going to curse us. Unless you curse them, of course. He's going to bless us. He's going to bring us back to planet Earth. Listen to what he goes on to say. This is key. This is the key to understanding. That is the one whose coming is according to the activity of Satan. And we know from Revelation chapter 11 that he's going to go into the temple. He's going to declare himself to be God. And then he's going to die. He's going to be mortally wounded. But then he's just going to rise up again. And at that point, he will literally be the devil incarnate. In other words, he would be the devil in the flesh. Jesus, God, was 100% man, or 100% God, became a man. He was God incarnate. So too, devil's just, he has no original thought. He has no original idea. All he can do is copy what God is doing and declare himself to be God. That's all he can do. That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. It's for those who perish, right? Because they did not receive the love of truth in order to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Now, a lot of conspiracy theorists get a bad rap, maybe because they believe in all this conspiracy stuff. You know, you really should not listen to them. You know, they're off their rocker, they're nuts. But what does the Bible just tell us? There's going to be a great conspiracy in the last days. There's going to be this deluding influence. People are going to believe the lie. They're going to believe it because they reject Jesus. They reject the truth. So what God's going to do? He's going to give everyone over to the lie. Everyone that remains upon planet Earth. You see, because there's this dark world, and then there's the light that is in the world, the light of truth, the light of understanding, the light of wisdom. He said that's going to be removed. Once the light is removed, what happens? Darkness floods in. It all just comes flooding in. Once the salt is removed, what happens? Corruption, rotting, and decay of our society, rotting and decay of the world. And out in the midst of this, there's going to be this one who's going to declare himself to be Savior. And the world is going to embrace him. They're going to embrace him. They're going to believe every single word. And then they're going to be, from that point, the wrath will come upon planet Earth. Once the church is removed, the wrath will come down. And from that point, everyone's going to be believing him until midway through the Great Tribulation. The world's going to be buying into his lies. They're going to believe all this. And then midway through the Great Tribulation, people are going to realize, specifically the Jew, and many others in the world, because we know there's a great harvest. They're first given over to the lie. Everything's stripped away. Everything they hope for, everything they were dreaming for. Because Antichrist is going to say, hey, I'm going to fulfill your wildest dreams. Just embrace me. And so he's going to become and proclaim, because the world is going to be at loss. There's going to be war. There's going to be death. There's going to be disease. There's going to be famine as a result of the church being removed. After the church is removed, all this is going to come. The world's going to see everything stripped away. He said, I can give it back to you. Just follow me. So everyone's going to be buying into this lie. This deluding influence is going to be up on planet Earth. Then midway through the Great Tribulation, he's going to be revealed as for what he truly is. And then he will die. Well, the Jew will reject him because he's going to proclaim himself to be Antichrist. Or I'm sorry, the Christ. He's going to die, and then he's going to be resurrected. At that point, the mark of the beast will come. He's died. We've got to identify with him now. The world will say, we've got to identify with him now. How do we identify with Christ? Baptism, the Holy Spirit, right? We could become one with him. We've got to identify with him. We've got to become one. And the way we become one with him is we would take his mark, either on the right hand or the forehead. I said all that to say this. We're not subjected to that. Now, if you're buying into the world, if your hope is in another president, if your hope is in politicians, If you're griping and complaining, we can't see other people saved. Because we're in a dark world right now. We are the light. Our We're the ones giving witness. We're the ones giving testimony. People should want what you have. But if you're like Israel, you've gotten distracted. You cannot be effective. So the point is, instead of griping and complaining, whining, and being caught up in the world system, celebrate. It's all unfolding right before our eyes. Jesus is coming. He's on his way. And then when the economy collapses, because it's going to, people look at you, why are you so filled with joy? Why do you have hope? You could tell them about Jesus. And he's coming back. His return is soon. We read in, I'll close with this. So there's a lot more here that I wanted to cover, but time has escaped me. Oh, by the way, I will cover this. Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, honor all people, right? Love the brotherhood. Love your brothers in Christ Jesus. Fear God, not man, and honor the king. Honor the king. He didn't say worship the king, put your faith in the king, put your hope in the king. He says honor him. Do what he says. Unless he tells you not to worship God. Then you've got to go with what Scripture says. I mean, Peter, as Paul and Silas, there's a couple of groups of guys that says, I don't care what you say. I'll follow your rules. I'll follow your guidelines. But if you tell me not to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, if you tell me not to worship him, I'm not going to do that. I've got to do that. Did you mock me? That's kidding. Let's see. Yeah, I'm caught. I'm trying to figure out how to end this now. Well, let's just go to Revelation 19. Here's our hope. It's not in the here and now. It's the what is coming. God's going to send the world to a tribulation. He's going to bring the world to repentance. He's going to establish his kingdom upon earth. And that's what we see in the book of Revelation. It's his coming. He says, and I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And he sat on it, is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, many crowns. He's a king of many peoples, is what it's saying. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. When he returns, no one's going to have an excuse. His blood, his robe will be dipped in blood. That's what's going to be condemning for a lot of people. Because he's coming back. Now wrath is, the penalty is about to be paid here. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood and his name is written, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Do you believe that he's truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If you believe that he's the ultimate king, that he sits on the throne, and that you are his bondservants, that you are his servants, what happens should not matter. You should not be in fear of anything, because all things are working together for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purposes. What's happening in America is not for us to try to control. We're not going to change behaviors with a vote. We're not going to change hearts with a vote. The only way we can change hearts is to be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him with a great hope. Chapter 21, this is where it all ends up. At the end, we have earth now. And Jesus said, this kingdom, or this world is, my kingdom is not of this world. But he's going to, his promise that he, is that he's going to bring the kingdom to this world. And he's going to rule and reign upon planet Earth. Then after the end of that reign, it's a 1,000-year reign, he's going to take and blend heaven and earth. He's going to blend the two. In other words, heaven will be on earth. You know why? Because he will be here. And all evil will be removed. That's our hope. Our hope is not in the here and now. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, or for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. Glenn's going to be in this tonight. This all satisfying water. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The promise is not here. He's not coming to renovate this earth. He's going to wipe it out. He's going to destroy it. And so the hope is not to change what's happening. The hope is to embrace what happens, because he's going to take everything and wipe it away. He's going to make all things new. And we'll be a part of that. But do you believe it? Are you still white-knuckling the things of this world? Are you still frightful what this president might do, or what the next president might do, or what our Congress might do? It's not about the here and now. But if you're focused on the here and now, then you will not be affected. Amen? That's where we'll leave off. My goodness, we went deep into this and I didn't cover half what I had intentions of covering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have in him. We thank you for the kingdom that is to come. Lord, we trust you. You are on the throne. Our faith is in you. Our hope is in you, based upon the love that you have for us. So Lord, may we be those who are effective in ministry, not worrying, not complaining, not griping or criticizing, but proclaiming the good news that all things are working together for good, that your kingdom is coming. You're on your way, and we see the evidence of that all around us. We can celebrate because prophecy is being fulfilled, and we look to that great and awesome day when you come back to set your kingdom upon earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.